Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Represents an effort to reach common ground and a real chance for health care reform. And it is balanced, a common sense bill that can pass the Senate.
Or maybe not. Democratic Senator Max Baucus of Montana on the health reform bill he released yesterday. This is the long-awaited Senate Finance Committee version that was supposed to be the best shot at a bipartisan bill with bipartisan support, and it may yet turn out to be that, but Baucus toned down a number of House bill provisions specifically to attract Republican support, like no public option insurance plan, a few hundred billion dollars less spending over 10 years, and allowing insurance companies to compete across state lines. But the total number of Republicans backing the draft of this bill as of now? Now, wait, let me count. That's looking over there. Zero. The total as of now is exactly zero. Here is Wyoming Senator Mike Enzi.
The bill fails to meet the promises for middle-class Americans. It spends too much and it does too little. It cuts Medicare for many, and it overloads the Medicaid system. And Washington says what adequate insurance will be with everybody, and then penalizes you if you don't agree.
Senator Enzi. And by the way, a lot of liberal Democrats in the House don't like the Baucus bill either for the compromises that it makes in search of, well, so far, zero Republican votes. So can the Baucus plan become the basis of successful health reform? Are all Democratic efforts at bipartisanship going to be futile in this area? Tim Noah from Slate.com is following this closely and joins us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Let's do some policy, some politics. Are you surprised that Baucus got no Republican support? Wasn't he supposed to be the Mr. Centrist Democrat, make the bill palatable guy?
Well, it's been evident for some time that these attempts to reach a bipartisan consensus were failing. There were six negotiators, actually initially seven negotiators, on this bill. On the Finance Committee, selected by Baucus, and it was a bipartisan group. They'd been working for months, and they were not getting anywhere. They kept delaying and delaying. Orrin Hatch dropped out. Senator Grassley and Senator Enzi, both Republicans, didn't drop out but kept making public statements that suggested they were likely to oppose any health care reform. The whole thing really started to implode, and eventually, after many delays, Baucus decided to hold a press conference on his own to introduce his chairman's mark, which the committee will be voting on next week. But it's not clear that he's got the votes to get it out of his committee.
And what about Democratic disappointment with this bill in the House? Why is he getting it from that side, too?
He's getting it from Democrats because for a number of reasons. Probably the main reason is that it's very stingy with subsidies to people who are at the low end of the income scale. Remember, this bill contains something called an individual mandate, which means that everybody in the United States will be required to purchase health insurance. If you don't purchase health insurance, you'll get hit with a tax penalty. So which is necessary in order to bring a number of people into the system to make it economically feasible to impose a number of regulations on the insurance companies. But the trick is that if you're going to force people to buy health insurance, you need to make it possible for them to afford health insurance. So the subsidies available to people at low incomes is a really crucial issue, and the Baucus bill is just very stingy on the subsidies compared to the House bill and the Senate Health Committee bill.
And from what I gather, that's not just with respect to individuals, but also to businesses. I think Democratic Senator Jay Rockefeller was complaining about that yesterday, that it has all these mandates on businesses, but then it's not as generous with the subsidies for businesses that would struggle covering their employees as the House bills are. Also, with respect to the states, because I believe that Nancy Pelosi in the House has been pushing the idea that the federal government pick up the whole additional tab for Medicaid, because more people would qualify for Medicaid, the health program for the poor, under any of these bills. But the House bill has the federal government paying for it. This baucus bill has the states picking up much of the tab. And Senator Rockefeller was saying, and governors were standing up and saying, hey, look, this is an unfunded mandate.
Well, exactly. Yes, it's costly to the states. The states are, as we know, still struggling with revenues, with reduced revenues due to the recession. So that has become a point of contention as well. Another point of contention is that the Baucus bill does not contain a public option. The government insurance plan that the House bill and the Senate Health Committee bill would create to, as the president says, keep private insurers honest. It would compete with private insurers and exert some downward pressure on premiums.
In the Enzi clip that we played, he said that Washington would tell you what adequate insurance would be and then penalizes anyone who disagrees. In terms of telling people what adequate insurance would be, it would have minimum standards for health insurance plans. Is that correct? Do you know?
Yes, the bill imposes many new requirements on health insurers. They may not, for example, turn away people because of pre-existing conditions. There are limits on out-of-pocket expenses. There's a limit to the degree to which they can vary premiums according to a patient's history or age, and so on.
Let's take a phone call. A couple of people calling in on the Baucus plan already. 212-433-WNYC. Rich in Montclair. Hello.
Hi. So I wanted to ask, is there any Republican that really wants everyone in the United States to have health care?
That's for you, Tim.
Is there any
Republican in Congress who wants everyone in the United States to have health care if there are no votes for any of these versions, including this one that Max Baucus tried so hard to make palatable across lines?
Right. Well, there doesn't seem to be much evidence that Republicans are willing to place the need for health care reform above partisan politics. I mean, the person who seems to be most guilty of this is Senator Chuck Grassley, who is the ranking member of the Finance Committee, who has made a lot of sort of noble-sounding statements about how badly he wants a bipartisan agreement, but has increasingly come up with sort of ever more fanciful objections to the bill that Senator Baucus introduced yesterday, and has also said that even if he thinks it's a good bill, if other Republicans don't think it's a good bill, he's going to oppose it. So he, over time, clearly has been thinking a lot more about politics than about the need for health care reform.
Amy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Tim Noah from Slate on the health care bills. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Brian. I saw Baucus' speech, and he referred several times to the mark, and then that this was different from the markup of the bill. And I guess it's an internal term that they use in the legislature, but I didn't know what it meant. What is it?
Right. Well, the chairman's mark is the chairman of the committee at the start of the markup process introduces a version of the bill that contains his ideas for what the bill should include. This usually occurs after the bill has been introduced. In this case, the chairman's mark was the bill, and then the committee takes up the bill and proceeds into markup, where senators literally mark up the bill with amendments and various kinds of changes. So that's the terminology.
And, Amy, we have a great clip on this from Senator Ben Nelson from yesterday, And this was really edifying. I mean, if we think this Max Baucus bill is out now and it's kind of take it or leave it, everybody's been waiting months for the Baucus bill and now people are going to line up and vote yes or vote no. Here's what Ben Nelson says actually happens.
This isn't the end all and be all. This is a starting point. We're going to do the amendments probably for 2 weeks in the Finance Committee. And then it's going to come out here. And it's going to get amended here. And then it's going to go to a conference committee. And it's going to get amended more.
Ben Nelson, who obviously has been learning civics from Schoolhouse Rock.
I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. Oh, but it looks like I'm going to live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign.
The only song I know of written from the point of view of a piece of legislation, Tim Noah.
That's great. That, you know, that describes the whole process. You know, the thing to remember is that the Senate... there are actually two committees in the Senate that take up health care reform. The first one was the Senate Health Committee, which in July reported out a version of health care reform that has received much more of a favorable reception from Democrats, although a less favorable reception from Republicans, and that was passed. Ted Kennedy was still the chairman and oversaw to some extent the passage of that version of the bill. But he was, of course, because he was ill, his place in the committee room was taken by Senator Chris Dodd. So that there is that separate version of the bill, and I think you're going to be hearing from a lot of senators that they prefer that version of the bill. And the task for the Senate is to combine two versions of the bill that clear committee, assuming that the Baucus bill does clear committee, into a measure that that everybody can agree with.
So one more clip from Senator Baucus, undaunted by his lack of support.
This has a certain sense of inevitability. This is going to pass. And I think with that, more and more people are going to think, oh, gee, first of all, maybe the right thing to do, at least make this effort. And probably this is not too far off the track from what we need to do. So let me work with it, see what I can do to make it better. I fully believe, as I've said many times, at the end of the day, there's going to be a Republican support for this bill.
Do you believe that, Tim Noah, on your way out the door here? Or is the name of the game now Democrats deciding that all they have to keep in the House is the blue dog and other conservative or centrist Democrats, get that majority, get the 60 votes roughly in the Senate and the big majority in the House, and do it that way?
I think that yeah, the Republican support for this bill will be you know, there may be a tiny handful of Republicans who may support the bill. The only one I can think of is Senator Olympia Snowe, and even she may not end up supporting
what she
holds.
10 seconds, 20 seconds. What is Olympia Snowe holding out for? We keep hearing it. Olympia Snowe is going to be the health care goddess of the universe because her vote will change the whole thing one way or another. What does she want?
She wants a number of things, but she's very wary of the public option. She suggested a trigger mechanism, which, as I've argued in a Slate piece, is fairly useless.
That's only if the co-op system fails, if the market fails to provide, then it would trigger a public option. But she's got that, right? I mean, there's no public option in the Baucus bill.
There is no public option in the Baucus bill. Obviously, the public option is still in play because it was in the Senate Health Committee bill and it's in the House bill. So, you know, they may get Olympia Snowe. She's also concerned with the cost of the legislation and also of the potential cost to people who have to go out and buy health insurance.
They took Baucus took the bill down, the cost down by, what, a quarter of $1 trillion over 10 years?
he actually, this is the first time I'm aware of that the Congressional Budget Office actually scored a bill lower than the bill sponsor, which is amazing. Baucus said it would cost $856 billion. CBO said it would cost $774 billion.
And that's not enough for Olympia Snow yet?
Right. In over 10 years, it's the only one of the bills that would actually reduce the deficit. The problem is that it does so by imposing an individual mandate that just might be too costly on low-income Americans.
All right. Tim Noah, following the healthcare debate for Slate.com. We'll continue to talk about this approximately every day. Tim, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, we continue our door-to-door series. This time, how much have you rearranged your life around your commute? Stay tuned.